This sound file contains the spoken version of the Wikipedia article on the Battle of Crete. The material was recorded on December 20th, 2017. The Battle of Crete, from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia at en.wikipedia.org. The Battle of Crete was fought during the Second World War on the Greek island of Crete. It began on the morning of May 20th, 1941, when Nazi Germany began an airborne invasion of Crete. Greek forces and other Allied forces, along with Cretan civilians, defended the island. After one day of fighting, the Germans had suffered heavy casualties, and the Allied troops were confident that they would defeat the invasion. The next day, through communications failures, Allied tactical hesitation, and German offensive operations, Malim Airfield in western Crete fell, enabling the Germans to land reinforcements and overwhelm the defensive positions on the north of the island. Allied forces withdrew to the south coast. Over half were evacuated by the British Royal Navy. The remainder surrendered or joined the Cretan resistance. The Battle of Crete was the first occasion where Fallschirmjäger, or German paratroops, were used en masse, the first mainly airborne invasion in military history, the first time the Allies made significant use of intelligence from decrypted German messages from the Enigma machine, and the first time German troops encountered mass resistance from civilian population. Due to the number of casualties and the belief that airborne forces no longer had the advantage of surprise, Adolf Hitler became reluctant to authorize further large airborne operations, preferring instead to employ paratroopers as ground troops. In contrast, the Allies were impressed by the potential of paratroopers and started to form airborne assault and airfield defense regiments. Section 1. Background. British forces had initially garrisoned Crete when the Italians attacked Greece on October 28, 1940, enabling the Greek government to employ the 5th Cretan Division in the mainland campaign. This arrangement suited the British. Crete could provide the Royal Navy with excellent harbors in the eastern Mediterranean, from which it could threaten the Axis' southeastern flank, and the Ploiesti oil fields in Romania would be within range of British bombers based on the island. The Italians were repulsed, but the subsequent German invasion of April 1941, codenamed Operation Marita, succeeded in overrunning mainland Greece. At the end of the month, 57,000 Allied troops were evacuated by the Royal Navy. Some were sent to Crete to bolster its garrison until fresh forces could be organized, although most had lost their heavy equipment. Winston Churchill, the British Prime Minister, sent a telegram to the Chief of the Imperial General Staff, General Sir John Dill, quote, "To lose Crete because we had not sufficient bulk of forces there would be a crime," unquote. Oberkommando des Heeres, or German Army High Command, was preoccupied with Operation Barbarossa, the invasion of the Soviet Union, and was largely opposed to a German attack on Crete. However, Hitler remained concerned about attacks in other theaters, in particular on his Romanian fuel supply, and Luftwaffe commanders were enthusiastic about the idea of seizing Crete by a daring airborne attack. The desire to regain prestige after their defeat by the Royal Air Force in the Battle of Britain the year before may also have played a role in their thinking, especially before the advent of the much more important invasion of Russia. Hitler was won over by the audacious proposal, and in Directive 31, he asserted that, quote, "Crete will be the operational base from which to carry on the air war in the eastern Mediterranean in coordination with the situation in North Africa," unquote. The directive also stated that the operation was to be in May, and must not be allowed to interfere with the planned campaign against the Soviet Union. Before the invasion, the Germans conducted a bombing campaign to establish air superiority and forced the RAF to remove its remaining aeroplanes to Alexandria. Section 2. Prelude. Order of Battle. Allied Forces. No RAF units were based permanently at Crete until April 1941, but airfield construction had begun, radar sites built, and stores delivered. Equipment was scarce in the Mediterranean and in the backwater of Crete. The British forces had 7 commanders in 7 months. In early April, airfields at Malim and Heraklion and the landing strip at Retimo on the north coast were ready, and another strip at Pediada Castelli was nearly finished. After the German invasion of Greece, the role of the Crete garrison changed from the defense of a naval anchorage to preparing to repel an invasion. On April 17th, Group Captain George Beamish was appointed Senior Air Officer Crete, taking over from a flight lieutenant whose duties and instructions had been only vaguely defined. Beamish was ordered to prepare the reception of the Blenheim bombers of 30 and 203 squadrons from Egypt and the remaining fighter aircraft from Greece to cover the evacuation of W Force, which enabled the transfer of 25,000 British and Dominion troops to the island, preparatory to their relief by fresh troops from Egypt. The Navy tried to deliver 27,000 long tons of supplies from May 1st to May 20th, 1941, but the Luftwaffe attacks forced most ships to turn back, and only 2,700 long tons were delivered. Only about 3,500 trained British and Greek soldiers were on the island, and the defense devolved to the shaken and poorly equipped troops from Greece, assisted by the last fighters of 33, 80, and 112 squadrons, and a squadron of the Fleet Air Arm, once the Blenheims were ordered back to Egypt. In mid-May, the four squadrons had about 24 aircraft, of which about 12 were serviceable due to a lack of tools and spares. The unfinished ground at Pediada Castelli was blocked with trenches and heaps of soil, and all but narrow flight paths were blocked at Heraklion and Retimo by barrels full of earth. At Malim, blast pens were built for the aircraft, and barrels full of petrol were kept ready to be ignited by machine gun fire. Around each go-around, a few field guns, anti-aircraft guns, two infantry tanks, and two or three light tanks were sighted. The three areas were made into independent sectors, but there were only 8 QF 3-inch and 20 Bofors 40mm anti-aircraft guns. On April 30, 1941, Major General Bernard Freyberg, VC, a New Zealand Army officer, was appointed commander of the Allied troops on Crete. By May, the Greek forces consisted of approximately 9,000 troops, three battalions of the 5th Greek Division, which had been left behind when the rest of the unit had been transferred to the mainland garrison against the German invasion, the Cretan Gendarmerie, a battalion-sized force, the Herrick Lion Garrison Battalion, a defense unit made up mostly of transport and supply personnel, and remnants of the 12th and 20th Greek Divisions, which had also escaped from the mainland to Crete and were organized under British command. Cadets from the Gendarmerie Academy and recruits from Greek training centers in the Peloponnese had been transferred to Crete to replace the trained soldiers sent to fight on the mainland. These troops were already organized into numbered recruit training regiments, and it was decided to use this structure to organize the Greek troops, supplementing them with experienced men arriving from the mainland. The British Commonwealth contingent consisted of the original 14,000-man British garrison and another 25,000 British and Commonwealth troops evacuated from the mainland. The evacuees were typical intact units, composite units, improvised locally, stragglers from every type of army unit, and deserters, mostly lacking heavy equipment. The main formed units were the 2nd New Zealand Division, less the 6th Brigade and the Division Headquarters, the 19th Australian Brigade Group, and the 14th Infantry Brigade of the British 6th Division. There were about 15,000 frontline Commonwealth infantry, augmented by about 5,000 non-infantry personnel equipped as infantry and a composite Australian artillery battery. On May 4th, Freyberg sent a message to the British commander in the Middle East, General Archibald Wavell, requesting the evacuation of about 10,000 personnel who did not have weapons and had, quote, little or no employment other than getting into trouble with the civil population, unquote. But few of these men had left Crete by the time the battle started. Axis forces. On April 25th, Hitler signed Directive 28 ordering the invasion of Crete. The Royal Navy retained control of the waters around Crete, so an amphibious assault would have been a risky proposition. With German air superiority assured, an airborne invasion was chosen. This was to be the first big airborne invasion, although the Germans had made smaller parachute and glider-borne assaults in the invasions of Denmark and Norway, Belgium, the Netherlands, France, and mainland Greece. In Greece, Fallschirmjäger had been dispatched to capture the bridge over the Corinth Canal, which was being readied for demolition by the Royal Engineers. German engineers landed near the bridge in gliders, while parachute infantry attacked the perimeter defense. The bridge was damaged in the fighting, which slowed the German advance and gave the Allies time to evacuate 18,000 troops to Crete and 20,000 to Egypt, albeit with the loss of most of their heavy equipment. In May, Flieger Corps XI moved from Germany to the Athens area, but the destruction wrought during the invasion of Greece forced a postponement of the attack to May 20th. New airfields were built, and 280 long-range bombers, 150 dive bombers, 90 Bf-109s, 90 Bf-110s, and 40 reconnaissance aircraft of the Flieger Corps 8 were assembled, along with 530 U-52 transport aircraft and 100 gliders. The BF-109s and Stuka dive bombers were based on forward airfields at Mulawi, Melos, and Karpathos, with Corinth and Argos as base airfields. The BF-110s were based at airfields near Athens, Argos, and Corinth, all within 200 miles of Crete, and the bomber or reconnaissance machines were accommodated to Athens, Salonika, and a detachment at Rhodes, along with bases in Bulgaria at Sofia and Plovdiv, 10 of the airfields being all-weather and 200 to 250 miles from Crete. The transport aircraft flew from bases near Athens and southern Greece, including Ulysses, Tetoi, Megara, and Corinth. British night bombers attacked the areas in the last few nights before the invasion, and Luftwaffe aircraft eliminated the British aircraft on Crete. The Germans planned to use Fallschirmjäger to capture important points on the island, including airfields that could then be used to fly in supplies and reinforcements. Flieger Corps 11 was to coordinate the attack by the 7th Flieger Division, which would land by parachute and glider, followed by the 22nd Air Landing Division once the airfields were secure. The operation was scheduled for May 16, 1941, but was postponed to May 20th, with the 5th Mountain Division replacing the 22nd Air Landing Division. To support the German attack on Crete, 11 Italian submarines took post off Crete or the British bases off Salam and Alexandria in Egypt. Intelligence. British. It had only been in March 1941 that Student added an attack on Crete to Operation Merida. Supply difficulties retarded the assembly of Flieger Corps 11 and its 500 U-52s, then more delays forced a postponement until May 20, 1941. The War Cabinet in Britain had expected the Germans to use paratroops in the Balkans, and on March 25th, British decrypts of Luftwaffe Enigma wireless traffic revealed that Flieger Corps 11 was assembling U-52s for glider towing, and British military intelligence reported that 250 aircraft were already in the Balkans. On March 30th, Detachment Sussmann, part of the 7th Flieger Division, was identified at Plovdiv. Notice of the target of these units did not arrive, but on April 18th, it was found that 250 U-52s had been withdrawn from routine operations, and on April 24th, it became known that Göring had reserved them for a special operation. The operation turned out to be a descent on the Corinth Canal on April 26th, but then a second operation was discovered, and that supplies, particularly of fuel, had to be delivered to the Flieger Corps 11 by May 5th. A Luftwaffe message referred to Crete for the first time was decrypted on April 26th. The British chiefs of staff were apprehensive that the target could be changed to Cyprus or Syria as a route into Iraq during the Anglo-Iraqi War, and suspected that references to Crete were a deception, despite having no grounds for this, and on May 3rd, Churchill thought that the attack might be a decoy. The command in Crete had been informed on April 18th, despite the doubts, and Crete was added to a link from the GC and CS to Cairo, while on April 16th and April 21st, intelligence that airborne operations were being prepared in Bulgaria was passed on. On April 22nd, the headquarters in Crete was ordered to burn all material received through the ultralink, but Churchill ruled that the information must still be provided. When Freyberg took over on April 30th, the information was disguised as information from a spy in Athens. Remaining doubts about an attack on Crete were removed on May 1st when the Luftwaffe was ordered to stop bombing airfields on the island and mining Suda Bay and to photograph all of the island. By May 5th, it was clear that the attack was not imminent, and next day, May 17th, was revealed as the expected day for the completion of preparations, along with the operation orders for the plan from the D-Day landings in the vicinity of Malines and Chania, Heraklion, and Rethymno. German. Admiral Wilhelm Canaris, chief of the Abwehr, originally reported 5,000 British troops on Crete and no Greek forces. It is not clear whether Canaris, who had an extensive intelligence network at his disposal, was misinformed or was attempting to sabotage Hitler's plans. Canaris was killed much later in the war for supposedly participating in the 20th of July plot. Abwehr also predicted the Cretan population would welcome the Germans as liberators due to their strong Republican and anti-monarchist feelings and would want to receive the, quote, favorable terms which had been arranged on the mainland, unquote. While the late Republican Prime Minister of Greece, Eleftherios Venizelos, had been a Cretan and support for his ideas was strong on the island, the Germans seriously underestimated Cretan loyalty. King George and his entourage escaped from Greece via Crete with the help of Greek and Commonwealth soldiers. Cretan civilians, and even a band of prisoners who had been released from captivity by the Germans. 12th Army intelligence painted a less optimistic picture, but also underestimated the number of British Commonwealth forces and the number of Greek troops who had been evacuated from the mainland. General Alexander Luhr, the theater commander, was convinced the island could be taken with 2 divisions, but decided to keep 6th Mountain Division in Athens as a reserve. Weapons and equipment. German. The Germans used the new 7.5-centimeter Lichtgeschütz 40 light gun, a recoilless rifle. At 320 pounds, it weighed a tenth of a standard German 75mm field gun, yet had 2/3 of its range. It fired a 13-pound shell over 3 miles. A quarter of the German paratroopers jumped with an MP-40 submachine gun, often carried with a bolt-action Carabiner 98K rifle, and most German squads had an MG-34 machine gun. The Germans used color-coded parachutes to distinguish the canisters carrying rifles, ammunition, crew-served weapons, and other supplies. Heavy equipment, like the Lichtgeschütz 40, were dropped with a special triple parachute harness to bear the extra weight. The troops also carried special strips of cloth to unfurl in patterns to signal to low-flying fighters to coordinate air support and for supply drops. The German procedure was for individual weapons to be dropped in canisters due to their practice of exiting the aircraft at low altitude. This was a flaw that left the paratroopers armed only with knives, pistols, and grenades in the first few minutes after landing. Poor design of German parachutes compounded the problem. The standard German harness had only one riser to the canopy, and it could not be steered. Even the 25% of paratroopers armed with submachine guns were at a disadvantage, given the weapon's limited range. Many Fallschirmjäger were shot before they reached weapons canisters. Greek troops were armed with Mannlicher Schnauer 6.5mm mountain carbines, or ex-Austrian 8x56R Steyr Mannlicher M1895 rifles, the latter a part of post-World War I reparations. About 1,000 Greeks carried antique Fusil Gross MLE 1874 rifles. The garrison had been stripped of its best crew-served weapons, which were sent to the mainland. There were 12 obsolescent Saint-Étienne MLE 1907 light machine guns and 40 miscellaneous light machine guns. Many Greek soldiers had fewer than 30 rounds of ammunition, but could not be supplied by the British, who had no stocks in the correct calibers. Those with insufficient ammunition were posted to the eastern sector of Crete, where the Germans were not expected in force. The 8th Greek Regiment was under strength, and many soldiers were poorly trained and poorly equipped. The unit was attached to the 10th New Zealand Infantry Brigade, who placed it in a defensive position around the village of Alikianos, where, with local civilian volunteers, they held out against the German 7th Engineer Battalion. Though Kippenberger, the commander of the 10th New Zealand Infantry Brigade, had referred to them as, quote, "nothing more than malaria-ridden little chaps with only 4 weeks of service," unquote, the Greek troops repulsed German attacks until they ran out of ammunition, whereupon they began charging with fixed bayonets, overrunning German positions and capturing rifles and ammunition. The engineers had to be reinforced by 2 battalions of German paratroops, yet the 8th Regiment held on until May 27th, when the Germans made a combined arms assault by Luftwaffe aircraft and mountain troops. The Greek stand helped to protect the retreat of the Commonwealth forces, who were evacuated at Sofakia. Beevor and McDougall Stewart write that the defense of Alikianos gained at least 24 more hours for the completion of the final leg of the evacuation behind Ley Force. The troops who were protected as they withdrew had begun the battle with more and better equipment than the 8th Greek Regiment. British Commonwealth. British and Commonwealth troops used the standard Lee Enfield rifle, Bren light machine gun, and Vickers medium machine gun. The British had about 85 artillery pieces of various calibers. Many of them captured Italian weapons without sights. Anti-aircraft defenses consisted of 1 light anti-aircraft battery equipped with 20mm automatic cannon split between the 2 airfields. The guns were camouflaged, often in nearby olive groves, and some were ordered to hold their fire during the initial assault to mask their positions from German fighters and dive bombers. The British had 9 Matilda 2A infantry tanks of B Squadron, 7th Royal Tank Regiment, and 16 light tanks Mark VIB from C Squadron, 4th Queen's Own Hussars. The Matildas had 40mm Ordnance QF2 powder guns, which only fired armor-piercing rounds, not effective anti-personnel weapons. High-explosive rounds and small calibers were considered impractical. The tanks were in poor mechanical condition, as the engines were worn and could not be overhauled on Crete. most tanks were used as mobile pillboxes to be brought up and dug in at strategic points. One Matilda had a damaged turret crank that allowed it to turn clockwise only. Many British tanks broke down in the rough terrain, not in combat. The British and their allies did not possess sufficient universal carriers or trucks, which would have provided the mobility and firepower needed for rapid counterattacks before the invaders could consolidate. Strategy and tactics. Operation Mercury. Adolf Hitler authorized Unternehmen Merkur, named after the swift Roman god Mercury, with Directive 28. The forces used were to come from airborne and air units already in the area, and units intended for Unternehmen Barbarossa were to conclude operations before the end of May. Barbarossa was not to be delayed by the attack on Crete, which had to begin soon or would be cancelled. Planning was rushed and much of Unternehmen Merkur was improvised, including the use of troops who were not trained for airborne assaults. The Germans planned to capture Malines, but there was debate over the concentration of forces there and the number to be deployed against other objectives, like the smaller airfields at Heraklion and Rethymno. The Luftwaffe commander Colonel General Alexander Luhr and the Kriegsmarine commander Admiral Karl Georg Schuster wanted more emphasis on Malines to achieve overwhelming superiority of force. Major General Kurt von Student wanted to disperse the paratroops more to maximize the effect of surprise. As the primary objective, Malines offered several advantages. It was the largest airfield and big enough for heavy transport aircraft. It was close enough to the mainland for air cover from land-based Bf-109 fighters and was near the north coast so seaborne reinforcements could be brought up quickly. A compromise plan by Hermann Göring was agreed, and in the final draft, Malines was to be captured first while not ignoring the other objectives. The invasion force was divided into Kampfgruppen, battle groups, center, west, and east, each with a codename following the classical theme established by Mercury. 750 glider-borne troops, 10,000 paratroops, 5,000 airlifted mountain soldiers, and 7,000 seaborne troops were allocated to the invasion. The largest proportion of the forces were in Group West. German airborne theory was based on parachuting a small force onto enemy airfields. The force would capture the perimeter and local anti-aircraft guns, allowing a much larger force to land by glider. Freyberg knew this after studying German operations and decided to make the airfields unusable for landing, but was countermanded by the Middle East Command in Alexandria. The staff felt the invasion was doomed now that it had been compromised and may have wanted the airfields intact for the RAF once the invasion was defeated. The Germans were able to land reinforcements without fully operational airfields. One transport pilot crash-landed on a beach, others landed in fields, discharged their cargo, and took off again. With the Germans willing to sacrifice some transport aircraft to win the battle, it is not clear whether a decision to destroy the airfields would have made any difference, particularly given the number of troops delivered by expendable gliders. Operation Mercury Battle Groups. Group Mitte, Group Center, mythical codename Mars. Commander, General Major Wilhelm Sussmann. Target, Prison Valley, Chania Suda, Rethymno. Gruppe West, mythical codename Comet. Commander, General Major Eugen Meindl. Target, Malines. Gruppe Ost, Group East, mythical codename Orion. Commander, Oberst Bruno Brauer. Target, Heraklion. Section 3, Battle. Malines-Chania Sector. At 0800 on May 20th, 1941, German paratroopers, jumping out of dozens of Junkers U-52 aircraft, landed near Malines Airfield and the town of Chania. The 21st, 22nd, and 23rd New Zealand Battalions held Malines Airfield and the vicinity. The Germans suffered many casualties in the first hours of the invasion. A company of 3rd Battalion, 1st Assault Regiment, lost 112 killed out of 126 men, and 400 of 600 men in 3rd Battalion were killed on the first day. Most of the parachutists were engaged by the New Zealanders defending the airfield and Greek forces near Chania. Many gliders following the paratroops were hit by mortar fire seconds after landing, and the glider troops who landed safely were almost annihilated by the New Zealand and Greek defenders. Some paratroopers and gliders missed their objectives near both airfields and set up defensive positions to the west of Malines Airfield and in Prison Valley near Chania. Both forces were contained and failed to take the airfields, but the defenders had to deploy to face them. Towards the evening of May 20th, the Germans slowly pushed the New Zealanders back from Hill 107, which overlooked the airfield. Greek police and cadets took part with the 1st Greek Regiment, combining with armed civilians to rout a detachment of German paratroopers dropped at Castelli. The 8th Greek Regiment and elements of the Cretan forces severely hampered movement by the 95th Reconnaissance Battalion on Kolymbari and Paliachora, where Allied reinforcements from North Africa could be landed. Rethymno Heraklion Center. A second wave of German transports supported by Luftwaffe and Regia Aeronautica attack aircraft arrived in the afternoon, dropping more paratroopers and gliders containing assault troops. One group attacked at Rethymno at 16:15 and another attacked at Heraklion at 17:30, where the defenders were waiting and inflicted many casualties. Heraklion was defended by the 14th Infantry Brigade, the 2/4th Australian Infantry Battalion, and the Greek 3rd, 7th, and Garrison Battalions. The Greeks lacked equipment and supplies, particularly the Garrison Battalion. The Germans pierced the defensive cordon around Heraklion on the first day, seizing the Greek barracks on the west edge of the town and capturing the docks. The Greeks counterattacked and recaptured both points. The Germans dropped leaflets, threatening dire consequences if the Allies did not surrender immediately. The next day, Heraklion was heavily bombed and the depleted Greek units were relieved and assumed a defense position on the road to Knossos. As night fell, none of the German objectives had been secured. Of 493 German transport aircraft used during the airdrop, 7 were lost to anti-aircraft fire. The bold plan to attack in 4 places to maximize surprise, rather than concentrating on one, seemed to have failed, although the reasons were unknown to the Germans at the time. Among the paratroopers who landed on the first day was former world heavyweight champion boxer Max Schmeling, who held the rank of Gefreiter at the time. Schmeling survived the battle and the war. May 21st. Overnight, the 22nd New Zealand Infantry Battalion withdrew from Hill 107, leaving Malim Airfield undefended. During the previous day, the Germans had cut communications between the 2 westernmost companies of the battalion and the battalion commander, Lieutenant Colonel Leslie Andrew, VC, who was on the eastern side of the airfield. The lack of communication was assumed to mean that the battalion had been overrun in the west. With the weakened state of the eastern elements of the battalion, and believing the western elements to have been overrun, Andrew requested reinforcement by the 23rd Battalion. Brigadier James Hargest denied the request on the mistaken grounds that the 23rd Battalion was busy repulsing parachutists in its sector. After a failed counterattack late in the day on May 20th with the eastern elements of his battalion, Andrew withdrew under cover of darkness to regroup with the consent of Hargest. Captain Campbell, commanding the westernmost company of the 22nd Battalion, out of contact with Andrew, did not learn of the withdrawal of the 22nd Battalion until early in the morning, at which point he also withdrew from the west of the airfield. This misunderstanding, representative of the failings of communication and coordination in the defense of Crete, cost the Allies the airfield and allowed the Germans to reinforce their invasion force unopposed. In Athens, von Student decided to concentrate on Malim on May 21st, as this was the area where the most progress had been made and because an early morning reconnaissance flight over Malim Airfield was unopposed. The Germans quickly exploited the withdrawal from Hill 107 to take control of Malim Airfield, just as a sea landing took place nearby. The Allies continued to bombard the area as U-52s flew in units of the 5th Mountain Division at night. Malim Airfield counterattack. In the afternoon of May 21st, 1941, Freyberg ordered a counterattack to retake Malim Airfield during the night of May 21st, May 22nd. The 27th Battalion was to move 18 miles north to relieve the 20th Battalion, which would participate in the attack. The 27th Battalion had no transport, and vehicles for the battalion were delayed by German aircraft. By the time the battalion moved north to relieve 20th Battalion for the counterattack, it was 23:30, and the 20th Battalion took 3 hours to reach the staging area, with its first elements arriving around 02:45. The counterattack began at 03:30, but failed because of German daylight air support. Brigadier George Allen Vasey and Lieutenant Colonel William Kremer have criticized Freyberg for not properly defending Malim Airfield. Hargest also blamed Freyberg for the loss of the airfield. Axis landing attempt, May 21st, May 22nd. An Axis convoy of around 20 KKs was escorted by the Italian torpedo boat Lupo, tried to land German reinforcements near Malim. Force D, under Rear Admiral Irvin Glennie, with 3 light cruisers and 4 destroyers, intercepted the convoy before midnight. The convoy turned back and despite being covered by Lupo, lost more than half of its ships. The attacking British ships suffered only slight damage caused by friendly fire. About two-thirds of the German force of over 2,000 men was saved by the Italian naval commander, Francesco Mimbelli, against an overwhelmingly superior Allied naval force. A total of 297 German soldiers, two Italian seamen, and two British sailors on HMS Orion were killed. Only one Caique and one cutter from the convoy reached Crete. The Caique landed three officers and 110 German soldiers near Cape Spatha, while the cutter arrived safely in Akrotiri, where her crew were engaged by a British army patrol and took heavy casualties. Of the German soldiers who landed at Akrotiri, only one managed to get through the British lines and join the German paratroopers already fighting for Chania. May 22nd, Malines. The defending force organized for a night counterattack on Malines by two New Zealand battalions, the 20th Battalion of the 4th Brigade and the 28th Maori Battalion of the 5th Brigade. A New Zealand officer present at the battle claimed a long delay ordering the planned counterattack turned a night attack into a day attack, which led to its failure. Fears of a sea landing meant that a number of units that could have taken part in the attack were left in place, although this possibility was removed by the Royal Navy, which arrived too late for the plans to be changed. The delayed counterattack on the airfield came in daylight on May 22nd, when the troops faced Stuka dive bombers, Duggan paratroops, and mountain troops. The attack slowly petered out and failed to retake the airfield, which forced the defenders into withdrawals to the eastern end of the island to avoid being outflanked. Axis landing attempt, May 22nd, May 23rd. Admiral Andrew Cunningham sent 4C, three cruisers and four destroyers commanded by Admiral King, into the Aegean Sea through the Casso Strait to attack a second flotilla of transports escorted by the Italian torpedo boat Sagittario. The force sank an isolated Caique at 0830, saving itself from an air attack that struck the cruiser HMS Naiad as the German pilots tried to avoid killing their troops in the water. The British squadron was under constant air attack and, short of anti-aircraft ammunition, steamed on toward Milos, sighting Sagittario at 1000. King made the quote difficult unquote decision to not press the attack despite his overpowering advantage because of the shortage of ammunition and the severity of the air attacks. The transports were defended by a torpedo charge by Sagittario, which also laid a smokescreen and fired upon the British force. King, however, had succeeded in forcing the Germans to abort the operation. During the search and withdrawal from the area, Force C suffered many losses to German bombers. Naiad was damaged by near misses and the cruiser HMS Carlisle was hit. Cunningham later criticized King, saying that the safest place during the air attack was amongst the flotilla of Caiques. Force C rendezvoused with Force A1 at the Kythera Channel, where air attacks inflicted damage on both forces. A bomb struck HMS Warspite and the destroyer Greyhound was sunk. King sent HMS Kandahar and Kingston to pick up survivors, while the cruisers Gloucester and Fiji provided anti-aircraft support. Their commander did not know of the shortage of anti-aircraft ammunition in Gloucester and Fiji, which were down to 18 and 30% respectively, 4 hours before they were detached to support the destroyers. Gloucester was hit by several bombs at 1550 and had to be left behind due to air attacks. The ship was sunk and 22 officers and 700 ratings were killed. The air attacks on Force A1 and Force C continued. Two bombs hit the battleship HMS Valiant and another hit Fiji, disabling her at 1845. A Junkers 88, flown by Lieutenant Gerhard Brenner, dropped three bombs on Fiji, sinking her at 2015. 500 survivors were rescued by Kandahar and Kingston that night. The Royal Navy had lost two cruisers and a destroyer, but had managed to force the invasion fleet to turn around. Royal Navy anti-aircraft gunners shot down 5 U-87s and 5 U-88s, and damaged 16 more, some of which crash-landed upon their return to base on the night of May 21st, May 22nd. May 23rd to May 27th. Fighting against fresh German troops, the Allies retreated southward. The 5th Destroyer Flotilla, consisting of HMS Kelly, Kipling, Kelvin, Jackal, and Kashmir, was ordered to leave Malta on May 21st to join the fleet off Crete and arrived after Gloucester and Fiji were sunk. They were sent to pick up survivors and then diverted to attack a German convoy of about 50 ships and Caiques off Cape Spatha on Rhodope Peninsula, western Crete, on the night of May 22nd, May 23rd, and then shelled the Germans at Malines. Kelvin and Jackal were diverted to another search, while Mountbatten, with Kelly, Cashmere, and Kipling, were to go to Alexandria. While the three ships were rounding the western side of Crete, they were attacked by 24 Stuka dive bombers. Cashmere was hit and sank in 2 minutes. Kelly was hit and turned turtle soon after and later sank. Kelly shot down a Stuka immediately, and another was badly damaged and crashed upon returning to base. Kipling survived 83 bombs, while 279 survivors were rescued from the other ships. The Royal Navy had suffered so many losses from air attacks that on May 23rd, Admiral Cunningham signaled his superiors that daylight operations could no longer continue, but the chiefs of staff demurred. German search and rescue aircraft and Italian motor torpedo boats spotted and rescued 262 survivors from the German light convoy sunk off Cape Spada. After air attacks on Allied positions in Castelli on May 24th, the 95th Gieberg's Pioneer Battalion advanced on the town. These air attacks enabled the escape of German paratroopers captured on May 20th. The escapers killed or captured several New Zealand officers assigned to lead the 1st Greek Regiment. The Greeks put up determined resistance, but with only 600 rifles and a few thousand rounds of ammunition available for 1,000 ill-trained men, they were unable to repel the German advance. Fighting with the remnants of the 1st Greek Regiment continued in the Castelli area until May 26th, hampering German efforts to land reinforcements. Despite the dangers posed by British naval forces, the Kriegsmarine made another attempt to supply the invasion by sea. On May 24th, Oberleutnant Sir C. Oosterlin, who had led the Malines flotilla, was given the task of transporting two Panzer II light tanks over to Castelli. Oosterlin commandeered a small wooden lighter at Piraeus and arranged for the tanks to be lowered onto it. At dusk the next day, the lighter, towed by the small harbor tug, Centaurus, left Piraeus and headed south towards Crete. Reports of British naval units operating nearby convinced Admiral Schuster to delay the operation, and he ordered Oosterlin to make for a small harbor on the German-occupied island of Kythera. At a meeting in Athens on May 27th, Luftwaffe generals Richthofen, Jeschenik, and Luhr pressed Schuster to get the tanks delivered somehow before, quote, the Englander's claws himself erect again, unquote. One of Richthofen's liaison officers had returned from the island on May 26th. The paratroopers were in poor condition, lacking in discipline, and, quote, at loose ends, unquote. He stressed the, quote, absolute and immediate need, unquote, for, quote, reinforcement by sea shipment of heavy weaponry if the operation is to get ahead at all, unquote. Schuster issued Oosterlin new orders to sail for the Gulf of Kissimos, where a landing beach had already been selected and marked out. Upon nearing the shore on May 28th, the lighter was positioned ahead of the tug and firmly beached. A party of engineers then blew the lighter's bow off using demolition charges, and the tube tanks rolled ashore. They were soon assigned to Advanced Detachment Whitman, which had assembled near Prison Valley Reservoir the day before. This ad hoc group was composed of a motorcycle battalion, the reconnaissance battalion, an anti-tank unit, a motorized artillery troop, and some engineers. General Ringel gave orders for Whitman to, quote, strike out from Plotinos at 0300 on May 28th in pursuit of the British main via the coastal highway to Rethymno, unquote, and thence towards Heraklion. Although they did not play a decisive role, the panzers were useful in helping round up British troops in the Kissimos area before speeding eastward in support of the German pursuit column. On the night of May 26th, May 27th, a detachment of some 800 men from No. 7 and No. 8 commandos, as part of Lay Force, landed at Suda Bay, under the command of Colonel Robert Laycock. Laycock had tried to land the force on May 25th, but it turned back due to bad weather. Although armed mainly with only rifles and a small number of machine guns, they were to carry out rearguard actions in order to buy the garrison enough time to carry out an evacuation. Troops of the Germans' 141st Mountain Regiment blocked a section of the road between Suda and Chania. On the morning of May 27th, the New Zealand 28th Maori Battalion, the Australian 27th Battalion, and the Australian 28th Battalion cleared the road by a bayonet charge in what is known as the Battle of 42nd Street. Command in London decided the cause was hopeless after General Wavell informed the Prime Minister at 0842, May 27th, that the battle was lost and ordered an evacuation. Freyberg concurrently ordered his troops to withdraw to the south coast to be evacuated. Italian landing at Sidia. On May 26, in the face of the stalled German advance, senior Wehrmacht officers requested Mussolini to send Italian army units to Crete in order to help the German forces fighting there. On the afternoon of May 27th, an Italian convoy departed from Rhodes with the intention of landing a brigade from the 50th Infantry Division Regina, supported by 13 L3 35 light tanks. The escort was made up of the destroyer Crispi, the torpedo boats Lyra, Linz, and Libra, two MAS torpedo launches, while the amphibious force comprised four fishing vessels, two steamships, one riverboat, two reefer ships, three tugs, and three tankers. The Italian commander in the Dodecanese had volunteered the services of his men as early as May 21st, but the request had to pass through German channels to Hermann Göring, who finally authorized the move when it became clear that the German effort was not moving ahead as quickly as planned. At 13:30 on May 28th, the Italians believed that the three cruisers and six destroyers of the Royal Navy were steaming up towards the northern coast of Crete in support of Allied troops, but the Royal Navy was fully occupied evacuating the Crete garrison. The Italians assumed that the Royal Navy force would be off Sitia, the planned landing site, by 1700, and the commander decided that the slowest ship of the convoy would be taken in tow by Linz, and Crispi was detached to shell the lighthouse at Cape Sideros. The 3,000 men of the division and their equipment were on shore by 1720 and advanced west unopposed, rendezvousing with the Germans at Lura Petra. The Italian troops later moved their headquarters from Sitia to Agios Nikolaos. Retreat. The Germans pushed the British, Commonwealth, and Greek forces steadily southward, using aerial and artillery bombardment, followed by waves of motorcycle and mountain troops, the rocky terrain making it difficult to employ tanks. The garrisons at Ceuta and Beritania gradually fell back along the road to Vitsilokelmos, north of Sofakia. About halfway there, near the village of Askifu, lay a large crater nicknamed, quote, the saucer, unquote, the only place wide and flat enough for a large parachute drop. Troops were stationed about its perimeter to prevent a landing that might block the retreat. Near Ceuta, the 5th New Zealand Brigade and the 27th Australian Battalion held off the 141st Mountain Regiment, which had begun a flanking maneuver, and on May 28th at the village of Stylos, the 5th New Zealand Brigade fought a rearguard action. The Luftwaffe was over Rethymno and Heraklion, and they were able to retreat down the road. The retreat of the brigade was covered by two companies of the Maori Battalion under Captain Rangi Royal, who overran the 1st Battalion, 141st Gieburg's Jäger Regiment, and halted the German advance. When the main unit was safely to the rear, the Maori retreated 24 miles, losing only 2 killed and 8 wounded, all of whom were recovered. Lay force was the only big unit in this area to be cut off. Lay force had been sent to Crete by way of Sofakia, when it was still hoped that reinforcements could be brought from Egypt to turn the tide of the battle. The battalion-sized force was split up, with a 200-man detachment under Laycock at Ceuta to cover the retreat of the heavier units. Lay force and three British tanks were joined by the men of the 20th Heavy Anti-Aircraft Battery, who had been assigned to guard Ceuta docks and refused to believe that an evacuation had been ordered. After a day of battle, Laycock ordered a night retreat to Beritania, where he was joined by Royal and the Maori, who managed to fight their way out, but Lay force was cut off near the village of Babali Kani. Laycock and his brigade major Evelyn Waugh were able to escape in a tank. Most of the other men of the detachment and the 20th HAA battery were killed or captured. By the end of the operation, about 600 of the 800 commandos sent to Crete were listed as killed, wounded, or missing. Only 179 men got off the island. Evacuation, May 28th to June 1st. From May 28th to June 1st, troops were embarked for Egypt, most being lifted from Sofakia on the south coast, where about 6,000 troops were rescued on the night of May 29th, May 30th. But the force was attacked by Luftwaffe dive bombers on the voyage back and suffered many losses. About 4,000 men were withdrawn from the Heraklion on the night of May 28th, May 29th. On the next night, 1,500 soldiers were taken away by four destroyers, and during the night of May 31st, June 1st, another 4,000 men were lifted. About 18,600 men of the 32,000 British troops on the island were evacuated. 12,000 British and Dominion troops and thousands of Greeks were still on the Crete when the island came under German control on June 1st. Surrender. Colonel Campbell, the commander at Heraklion, was forced to surrender his contingent. Rethymno fell, and on the night of May 30th, German motorcycle troops linked up with the Italian troops who had landed on Sitia. On June 1st, the remaining 5,000 defenders at Sofakia surrendered. By the end of December, about 500 Commonwealth troops remained at large on the island. While scattered and disorganized, these men and the partisans harassed German troops for long after the withdrawal. Civilian resistance. Cretan civilians joined the battle with whatever weapons were at hand. Most civilians went into action armed only with what they could gather from their kitchens or barns, and several German parachutists were knifed or clubbed to death in olive groves. In one recorded incident, an elderly Cretan man clubbed a parachutist to death with his walking cane before the German could disentangle himself from his parachute. In another recorded incident, a local priest and his son broke into a village museum and took two rifles from the era of the Balkan Wars and sniped at German paratroopers at landing zones. The Cretans also captured German small arms. The Crete civilian actions against the Germans were not limited to harassment. Mobs of armed civilians joined in the Greek counterattacks at Castelli Hill and Palaiochora. The British and New Zealand advisors at these locations were hard-pressed to prevent massacres. Civilians also checked the Germans to the north and west of Heraklion and in the town center. Massacres of Greek civilians. The Battle of Crete was the first occasion during the Second World War where the German troops encountered widespread resistance from a civilian population, which initially surprised and later outraged them. As most Cretan partisans wore no uniforms or insignia, such as armbands or headbands, the Germans felt free of all the constraints of the Hague Conventions and killed armed and unarmed civilians indiscriminately. Immediately after Crete fell, a series of collective punishments against civilians began. Between June 2nd and August 1st, 195 persons from the village of Alikianos and its vicinity were killed in mass shootings known as the Alikianos executions. On June 2nd, several male citizens from Kandumari were executed by a firing squad, with the shootings being captured on film by a German army war correspondent. On June 3rd, the village of Kandanos was razed to the ground and about 180 of its inhabitants killed. After the war, Student, who ordered the shootings, avoided prosecution for war crimes despite Greek efforts to have him extradited. Throughout the German occupations and the years that followed, reprisals and retaliation for the involvement of the local population in the Cretan resistance continued. On several occasions, villagers were rounded up and summarily executed. In one of the worst incidents, around 20 villages east of Vianos and west of the Ira Petra provinces were looted and burnt in September 1943, with over 500 of their inhabitants being massacred. These massacres were among the deadliest during the Axis occupation of Greece during World War II. In August 1944, over 940 houses in Anogia were looted and then dynamited. The same month, 9 villages in the Ameri Valley were destroyed and 165 people killed in what is now known as the Holocaust of Kedros. All these reprisals were ordered by General Lieutenant Friedrich Wilhelm Müller, who was nicknamed, quote, the Butcher of Crete, unquote. After the war, Müller was tried by a Greek military court and executed. Section 4. Aftermath. Analysis. Although the conquest of Crete was considered a grandiose victory of the Airborne Corps, the German leadership focused on the heavy losses incurred. The German Air Ministry was shocked by the amount of transport aircraft lost, and Student, reflecting on the casualties suffered by the paratroopers, concluded after the war that Crete was the death of the airborne force. Hitler, believing airborne forces to be a weapon of surprise, which had now lost that advantage, concluded that the days of the Airborne Corps were over, and directed that paratroopers should be employed as ground-based troops in subsequent operations in the Soviet Union. The German casualty rate was hidden from Allied planners who rushed to create airborne formations. Allied airborne planners, like Colonel James M. Gavin, realized from the German experience on Crete that airborne troops should jump with heavy weapons. The lack of such equipment contributed greatly to German losses during the invasion. The battle for Crete did not delay Operation Barbarossa. The start date for Barbarossa, June 22, 1941, had been set several weeks before the Crete operation was considered, and the directive by Hitler for Operation Mercury made it plain that preparations for Merkur must not interfere with Barbarossa. Units assigned to Merkur intended for Barbarossa were to be redeployed to Poland and Romania by the end of May, and the movement of units from Greece was not delayed. The transfer of Flieger Corps 8 north, ready for Barbarossa, eased the Royal Navy evacuation of the defenders. The delay of Operation Barbarossa was caused by the late spring and floods in Poland. The sinking of Bismarck on May 27th distracted British public opinion, but the loss of Crete, particularly as a result of the failure of the Allied land forces to to recognize the strategic importance of the airfields, led the British government to make changes. Only 6 days before the initial assault, Vice Chief of Air Staff presently wrote, quote, "If the army attach any importance to air superiority at the time of an invasion, they then must take steps to protect our aerodromes with something more than men in their first or second childhood," unquote. Shocked and disappointed with the army's inexplicable failure to recognize the importance of airfields in modern warfare, Churchill made the RAF responsible for the defense of its bases, and the RAF regiment was formed on February 1, 1942. Allied commanders at first worried the Germans might use Crete as a springboard for further operations in the Mediterranean East Basin, possibly for an airborne attack on Cyprus or a seaborne invasion of Egypt, in support of Axis forces operating from Libya. Operation Barbarossa made it apparent that the occupation of Crete was a defensive measure to secure the Axis southern flank. Ultra. For a fortnight, Enigma intercepts described the arrival of Flieger Corps 11 around Athens, the collection of 27,000 registered tons of shipping, and the effect of air attacks on Crete, which began on May 14, 1941. A postponement of the invasion was revealed on May 15th and on May 19th. The probable date was given as the next day. The German objectives in Crete were similar to the areas already being prepared by the British, but foreknowledge increased the confidence of the local commanders in their dispositions. On May 14th, London warned that the attack could come any time after May 17th, which was passed on by Freyberg to the garrison. On May 16th, the British authorities expected an attack by 25,000 to 30,000 airborne troops, in 600 aircraft, and 10,000 troops by sea. The real figures were 15,750 airborne troops, in 520 aircraft, and 7,000 by sea. Late decrypts reduced uncertainty over the seaborne invasion. The British mistakes were smaller than those of the Germans, who estimated the garrison to be only a third of the true figure. The after-action report of Flieger Corps 11 contained a passage that the operational area had been so well prepared that it gave the impression that the garrison had known the time of the invasion. Anthony Beaver in 1991 and P.D. Antill in 2005 wrote that Allied commanders knew of the invasion through ultra intercepts. Freyberg had been informed of the air component of the German battle plan and started to prepare a defense near the airfields and along the north coast. He had been hampered by a lack of modern equipment, and the lightly armed paratroopers had about the same firepower as the defenders, if not more. Ultra intelligence was detailed, but was taken out of context and misinterpreted. While emphasis was placed on the airborne assault, the German messages also mentioned seaborne operations, and Freyberg, expecting an amphibious assault, garrisoned the coast, which reduced the number of men available to defend the airfield at Malines, the principal German objective. In 1993, F.H. Hinsley, the official historian of British intelligence during the war, wrote that the Germans had more casualties in the conquest of Crete than in the rest of the Greek campaign, and that the losses inflicted on the 7th Flieger Division were huge. It was the only unit of its kind and was not rebuilt. Hinsley wrote that it was difficult to measure the influence of intelligence gained during the battle, because although ultra revealed German situation reports, reinforcement details, and unit identifications, and that more intelligence was gleaned from prisoners and captured documents, it was not known how swiftly the information reached Freyberg or how he used it. The German parachute warfare manual had been captured in 1940, and after the war, students said that he would have changed tactics had he known. Field signals intelligence was obtained, including bombing instructions and information from the Flieger Corps 11 tactical code. Lack of air cover prevented much British air reconnaissance north of Crete, but on May 21st, signals intelligence enabled an aircraft to spot a convoy. After midnight, 12 ships were sunk by the Navy and the rest scattered, which led to a second invasion convoy being called back. The second convoy was intercepted during the morning of May 22nd, despite the cost to the Navy of a daylight operation, and no more seaborne attempts were made. Casualties. Official German casualty figures are contradictory due to minor variations in documents produced by German commands on various dates. Davin estimated 6,698 losses based upon an examination of various sources. The total count excluded Flieger Corps 8 and Kriegsmarine casualties. Davin wrote that this estimate might exclude several hundred lightly wounded soldiers. Quote, "Reports of German casualties in British reports are in almost all cases exaggerated and are not accepted against the official contemporary German returns, prepared for normal purposes and not for propaganda," unquote, according to Davin. In 1956, Playfair and the other British official historians gave figures of 1,990 Germans killed, 2,131 wounded, 1,995 missing, a total of 6,116 men, quote, compiled from what appear to be the most reliable German records, unquote. Exaggerated reports of German casualties began to appear after the battle had ended. The press, on June 12, 1941, reported that, quote, the Germans lost at least 12,000 killed and wounded, and about 5,000 drowned, unquote, according to Taylor. Churchill claimed that the Germans must have suffered well over 15,000 casualties, while Admiral Cunningham felt that the figure was more like 22,000. Buckley, based on British intelligence assumptions of two enemies wounded for every one killed, gave an estimate of 16,800 casualties. The United States Army Center of Military History, citing a report of the historical branch of the British Cabinet Office, concluded that military historians accept estimates from 6,000 to 7,000 German casualties. The Australian Graves Commission counted about 5,000 German graves in Malim Suda Bay area, at Rethymno and Heraklion, that would have included deaths during the German occupation due to sickness, accidents, or fighting with partisan forces. The official historians recorded 147 Luftwaffe aircraft destroyed and 64 damaged by enemy action, and 73 destroyed and 84 damaged by other causes. And in 1987, Shores, Cole, and Maliza recorded losses of 220 aircraft destroyed and 64 written off due to damage, a total of 284 aircraft with several hundred damaged. 311 Luftwaffe aircrew were listed as killed or missing, and 127 were wounded. In a 1948 RAF staff publication, Luftwaffe losses were given as about 4,500 parachute and glider troop casualties, and about 170 U-52s lost or severely damaged. Losses in fighter and bomber units were small due to lack of air opposition. The British lost 1,742 killed, 1,737 wounded, 11,835 taken prisoner from a garrison of slightly more than 32,000 men, and there were 1,828 dead and 183 wounded Royal Navy personnel. Of a force of more than 10,000 men, 5,255 Greek troops were captured. After the war, the Allied graves from the four burial grounds that had been established by the Germans were moved to Suda Bay War Cemetery. A large number of civilians were killed in the crossfire or died fighting as partisans. Many Cretans were shot by the Germans in reprisal during the battle and in the occupation. One Cretan source puts the number of Cretans killed by Germans at 6,593 men, 1,113 women, and 869 children. German records put the number of Cretans executed by firing squad as 3,474, and at least 1,000 civilians were killed in massacres late in 1944. The Luftwaffe sank the cruisers HMS Gloucester, HMS Fiji, and HMS Calcutta. The destroyers Kelly, Greyhound, and Kashmir from May 22nd to June 1st. Italian bombers from 41 Gruppo sank the destroyer HMS Juno on May 21st and damaged another destroyer, HMS Imperial, on May 28th beyond repair. The British also lost the destroyer HMS Hereward on May 29th when she was attacked by German Junkers U-87 Stuka dive bombers. Damage to the aircraft carrier HMS Formidable, the battleships HMS Warspite and HMS Barham, the cruisers HMS Ajax, HMS Ditto, HMS Orion, and HMAS Perth, the submarine HMS Rover, the destroyers HMS Kelvin and HMS Nubian, kept them out of action for months. At anchor in Suda Bay, northern Crete, the heavy cruiser HMS York was disabled by Italian explosive motorboats and beached on March 26th, and later wrecked by demolition charges when Crete was evacuated in May. By June 1st, the Eastern Mediterranean strength of the Royal Navy had been reduced to 2 battleships and 3 cruisers, against 4 battleships and 11 cruisers of the Italian Navy. Royal Navy shipborne anti-aircraft gun claims for the period of May 15th to May 27th amounted to, quote, 20 enemy aircraft shot down for certain with 11 probables. At least 15 aircraft appeared to have been damaged, unquote. From May 28th to June 1st, another 2 aircraft were claimed shot down and 6 more damaged, for a total of 22 claimed destroyed, 11 probably destroyed, and 21 damaged. Occupation. For the German occupation of Crete, see Fortress Crete. This sound file and all text in the article are licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 unported license, available at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by-sa/3.0.